Thank you for downloading the One Mic, One Voice show. Today's broadcast is being brought to you by Blacken Studios. To learn more about Blacken Studios, please visit them at blackenstudios.com or visit them on their Facebook page, Blacken Studios. Today's broadcast is also being brought to you by Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. To learn more about Perry Publishing and Broadcasting, please visit their website at perrypublishingandbroadcasting.net. The opinions of the One Mic, One Voice show do not reflect the views of Blacken Studios or Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. Thank you for downloading the One Mic, One Voice show. Welcome to the One Mic, One Voice show, Building the Collective Conscience, a show that is created to give space where your voice, ideas, and a form of opinions can be heard, appreciated, and debated. Well, I'm half excited today because I'm half with the crew. We do know that DT is on the continent of Africa, and he's in Kenya. I can only imagine with the time difference, he's probably somewhere catching some Z's, Richard. So you have is me here with you today, but I'm going to try to do my best to hold it, as we say, hold it down. But thank you so much for tuning in, because we have a tremendous conversation that we need to have today. There's so much going on, and just going back to the kind of the last show, we've been talking about the things that are happening in Chicago. And man, I just, you know, when it came out that these officers, and we're talking about Laquan McDonald and the shooting death of that young man and the 16 bullets that entered him, most of them, by the way, while he was still on the ground, he had been dead for quite some time, in my opinion. But these officers collaborated their stories. I mean, they basically, all of them said that Brother McDonald had attacked and the officer's life was in jeopardy. And he returned fire simply because of he felt that his life was in peril. And then on top of that, I'm sure you probably read this or heard about it, but on top of that, the investigator who reviewed not just all of the officers' statements, but the videotape also came out and said that the shooting was justified. Now, listen, folks, I'm sure you've seen the video by now. And we don't, again, I don't know if we need a PhD to discern between what we saw through the eye gate, but I'm here to tell you. There was no charging. He was walking away, and this man was executed in the city streets of Chicago. And for the police officers to back one another up, again, last week we were talking about this idea of trying to come clean in the community when something happens, something goes wrong, criticizing Black people for not coming forward. You know, again, you know where I stand on this. I've said this multiple times. We need to come forward. It's the right thing to do. It's the moral thing to do. It could be our own families, Richard. It could be our loved ones. We need to come forward again. But I can better understand this idea of who am I coming forward to? I mean, if you that standard is not even among those in blue, how can you expect for civilian folk to trust that you're going to protect them when all you are concerned about is protecting yourself? I mean, it's amazing. I mean, you know, I'm talking, shout out to all the folks that are listening to us on the continent where DT's at right now. And he's going to even be able to interact with some of our listeners, which I'm very excited about the tales that he's going to come back and share with us. But, you know, we're in South America. We're all in the United Kingdom and, of course, throughout Europe. You know, I'm trying to, the reason why I'm setting that up, Richard, because just the other day I was profiled. I mean, I did. It was crazy, right? And I live, you know, for some of you, I live about 45 minutes from downtown Oklahoma City. And a cop got behind me. He got behind me, and some of you local folks gonna understand what I'm saying. He got behind me in Midwest City. Okay, so I got to go through Midwest City. I got to go through Dale City. I got to go through Choctaw. So I'm going all the way up east. And he got behind me, and I saw him because, you know, we got the radar, right? I mean, you know, I'm telling you, just boom. It just, we don't need electronic radar. Listen, when the cops pull behind, even get close in the vicinity, it's like, yeah, he here. I can't see him yet, but he's here, right? And so he got behind me, and I thought, wow, okay, here we go again. Let me shift lanes because I might just be paranoid. Okay, boom, I shift lanes, put my blinker on, of course, because he's looking for any mistake that I'm going to make, right? So, boom, he move over to the next lane. I'm like, really? Okay. So I thought, where I normally get off at, I said, no, I'm going to get off somewhere real strange, right? So I know that he following. And I'm talking about we out east now, man. He's been behind me now for about 20 minutes, right? I know he didn't call down on me, did everything. And so, man, I pull off on Peevely. This man pulls off on Peevely. I said, you got to be kidding me, man. You followed me from Midwest City. I mean, what is it? What did I do wrong? You know, what would I, you know, I wasn't speeding. I used my signal. I mean, what's the common denominator here, folks? Black man in a car, as they say, driving while black. I'm so tired of being harassed. And so he got behind. I got off on Peevely, man. So okay, I said, okay, you can go right or left. I'm like, okay. Now, he could have went left, so I went right. He went right, right? I'm like, man, this guy is killing me, man. And so I got to like 104th. And I said to myself, self, if I turn at 104th, now I can go multiple ways home. I said, I'm going to do 104th. And he turned with me. I'm putting my car in park and I'm getting out and I'm saying, why are you following me? Why in the world are you following me? You know, I don't get it, man. You way out of your jurisdiction, man. You. So anyway, so I turn at 104. So I'm turning left. And then he just looked at me. You know, I'm looking my rear view, man. He just looked at me. And it seemed like for a minute, he said, should I follow him? Nah, I'm gonna go right. And see, that's what I'm saying. It's real. And what has happened in our society is that encounters like that have turned deadly simply because of what? Simply because I'm driving. I can't drive home. I'm driving home from work. I'm a law-abiding citizen, you know, law-abiding citizen. I ain't did nothing to anybody. Did I deserve to be followed? What happened to probable cause? What happened to be, you know, you something, you know, what was a probable cause in that? Now I can hear some of the critics. I'm just paranoid. Okay. All right. Well, I get it. I mean, if you never lived in this skin that I'm in, you might say, okay, well, you know, yeah, I could get it. Well, yeah, he just paranoid. Try to, as they say, walk a mile in these shoes. Talk to any black man. Talk to you not, yeah, you know, sometimes paranoia save your life. I'll be honest with you. Because the last thing we can do is fall asleep and get comfortable. And before you know it, man, you getting 16 slugs in you. Okay? Because you think, well, you know, hey, they just going to arrest me and take the knife or whatever. No, no, no. Death is calling. I mean, that's what's going on nowadays, man. So just the other day, the stories, folks, go on and on and on. And the psychological stress that's associated with simply living in society where you are seeing somehow, I guess I'm a danger. I ain't never did nothing against the law. Well, I ain't going to say I never did nothing against the law. Now, I might be lying on that one. But I never did nothing as serious as, you know, when I was a little kid, took a little piece of candy or whatever. What's the statute on candy taking? Is it still right? They might be waiting outside the studio when I come. We heard you. We got you. But no, I mean, I'm a law-abiding citizen, pay my taxes and do all of that. I just want to be treated with some respect, just like every other person on the planet. And so it's just dangerous to see what's going on in Chicago. But folks, listen, I think they need to investigate every police department in this country because the corruption and the idea. I hear people say, well, there's good cops, man. I'm not talking about good cops. Okay. It's just like in school, you got some students that are passing, some that are failing. I'm not talking about the ones that are passing. They're moving on. They get it. I'm talking about the ones that are failing that needs attention. I'm talking about the ones that are out there wreaking havoc. This right now, while we're talking, the officer, the former police officer, Oklahoma City police officer, Holtzclough. You've probably seen this in the news when he's 36 charges, 13 different women he's accused of, in some cases, rape, sodomy, just heinous sexual acts against these women that he preyed upon, that he called down, found out that they had a record, and he figured he would manipulate them, all black women. He had an all white jury. Right now they're debating or they're deliberating on the verdict. They've been doing this now for a day and a half. Now, part of my mind, Richard, goes to this hung jury. You know, I can honestly say, I don't think Oklahoma City can take a hung jury. I don't think Oklahoma City can take a not guilty when you have preyed among the most vulnerable, the least among us. We want to see justice for these women that have been treated like they were less than human. And so I don't know what the debate is going on in there. It's 36 charges. I've talked to some of my lawyer friends. They said, oh, that's normal. I've talked to others that said, man, it sounds like somebody's holding out. You don't know. I mean, that's the black box. What's going on inside there? But we're under pressure. I mean, my friends on Facebook, they, you know, have you heard a verdict? And, you know, has anybody heard anything? It's like a pressure cooker. And I'm just hoping that those jurors understand the truth of the matter and release the pressure and not increase the pressure, because it's about to blow. So that's going on right now. The corruption and it's almost like if you speak truth to power, people look at you and go, you can't do that. In other words, I can't talk about bad cops without offending all cops. Like some way I need to stay away. I don't know how to have the conversation if you don't talk about the facts that are in front of you. Ferguson, the police department was using black people for revenue streams. It is proven. The Department of Justice investigation. It's happening all over this country. Can't we talk about the corruption? Can't we talk about the ills that are happening to people? Can't we? What about our obligation to the social aspects, the social conversation, the social obligation to be our brothers and sisters' keeper? That doesn't mean I'm demonizing cops. I'm not demonizing cops. Matter of fact, we need police officers. With everything that's going on with terrorism and ISIS and all that, they serve a purpose in our society, not demonizing all cops. We have to critically think and get beyond our own idiosyncrasies and our inability to talk about things because somehow we don't have the fortitude to do that. We need to be able to talk about what's happening in our city streets, what's happening in our police departments, what's happening in our educational system without people saying somehow you demonizing everybody. No, I'm not demonizing everybody. I'm demonizing the ones that are out there demonizing other people. That's what needs to happen. And if we don't have the courage to have that conversation. I don't want to look at a cop and go, man, this dude about to jack me up. I don't want to do that, but I can't help it. He jacked me up too many times. Okay. I'm just gonna be honest with you. I can't. It's a natural reaction, man. It's like, nothing's good gonna happen out of this. I wish that would change. I don't want young boys, I don't care what race you are, looking at police officers like that. But the reality is, to serve and protect, I don't know too much about that. I don't know about no serving. You might be, they serving something. They serving some pain. You know what I mean? They serving some pain. And some of them are serving some death, okay? Death platter. I don't want a death platter. You know what I mean? I don't need that. I don't want to go out like that, man. I want natural causes or something. You know, don't just take a brother out like that, man. I got things I want to do, places I want to go. So, hey, look, folks, we need to be able to live up to these platitudes, you know, these creeds. So, you know, never to doctors, never to do no harm, protecting the serve for cops and all these other kind of things. But it's crazy out here. I want to transition for a minute, not necessarily away from the violence that's in America, but I want to transition to the issue of Muslims in our country today and the rhetoric that's been coming out of Mr. Trump and some things he's had to say. But from September 11th, 2001, get this, folks, until the end of 2014, 109 Muslim Americans, Muslims, however you want to pronounce it, plotted against targets in the United States, and terrorism by Muslim Americans killed 50 in the same time period. Okay, you might say, wow, that's something, right? Okay, contrast that, and that is something, the loss of life, loss of anyone's life. I don't want to minimize that. It's terrible. What happened on September 11th was terrible. But contrast that with the death from other mass shootings just last year, 136, more than twice as many as all the deaths from 13 years of Muslim American terrorism. And I ask you this question. Who is the threat? Who is the threat? I mean, we talked about what's going on in Chicago. Just look at Ferguson. Look at Baltimore. Of course, that's Ferguson. Look at what's going on around our country in Oakland. Look what just, happened. We say that it's related to ISIS, this thing in California. But I ask you the question, who is the threat? I mean, who should we be afraid of? I mean, even this perpetrator of this heinous act in California was a Muslim-born citizen. So who is a threat? The first mosque was in 1929 in Ross, of all places, North Dakota, was the first mosque. They didn't just start showing up. There's believed that a percentage of the slaves that came in were Muslim. You know, it's interesting, and they make up a minuscule portion of our of the United States. It says, by some estimates, Muslims make up less than 1% of the U.S. adult population. And get this, by 2050, what are we in? 20, we're about to hit 2016, right? Man, but you're a young cat. You'll be around by that time. You probably see this. By 2050, their numbers will grow to 2.1%. Of all the Muslims in America, 63% are exactly the kind Trump wanted to ban. Immigrants. Let's go ahead and roll what Mr. Trump is saying.
Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until our country's representatives can figure out what the hell is going on.
Donald J. Trump. Yeah, he came out with the full name. I'm making a statement here. I'm calling on the refusal of Muslims into this country, the country of immigrants, the country of religious freedom and tolerance, the country of the American dream. This man has the gall to say that he's going to ban, or his desire is to ban. And you heard Muslims, and then you heard the applause of people. I mean, to this thundering applause of people that support this sort of rhetoric. You know, I am completely baffled by what has happened in our country, where we have stooped to this level, where we will take a broad stroke and color every Muslim person with the stroke of evil. That you know, this idea of group identity being inferred upon the individual, that there's no longer, Muslims are no longer individuals. They're this group that we need to be afraid of, and we need to ban them. I can't believe. Well, let me back up here for a minute. For a country that had slaves, that forced slaves to come, force people to come into this country and to work for free, to separate families, to this national sin that still is just splattered. Just splattered all over the psyche of Americans, and the denial of the existence of such a national sin, and these internment camps with the Japanese, and the Trail of Tears with the Indians. Richard, why am I shocked? I got to change my. No, I'm not shocked. Okay, let me back up and reverse all of that. No, I'm not shocked that we have people in this country that, I mean, how can you not even get to know? I mean, how do you just say all people? Now, living in the skin that I am, I understand that, because one black person does something wrong, you blame the entire race. You demonize the entire race. Folks, this has got to stop. But I can't believe, I won't take a listen to what some of the supporters are saying about this strategy for keeping us safe.
Moments after the plan was announced by Trump, NBC News asked some of the people attending last night's rally in South Carolina what they thought about it.
I think it's a good idea with everything that's going on in the world right now. I mean, it sounds harsh, but reality is reality.
I think that is a very wise decision made very prudently after due diligence. And I'm very impressed with the fact that he's bold enough to come out and do that.
I'd have to think about it a while.
Okay.
I'd have to absolutely think about that.
I'm a veteran paratrooper, been in three different campaigns in two different wars, both Iraq and Afghanistan. And I've had too many brothers and sisters lost over there in those two wars to just let them come here free range in our country now. It's a kick in the face to every veteran there is that's fought in those wars, to us trying to protect our homeland from them coming in, and then the current administration.
Need I say more? One, only one, and again, this is not a scientific sample, but only one person, you know, said they had to think about it. Folks, what is there to think about? You notice the guy. I'm a veteran, okay? It's not a slap in the face to me to not color people with the same brush stroke to understand that there's bad people in every single religious group, ethnic group, racial group, in every gender. There are bad people. It has nothing to do with your behavior, your ideology. Just because one person gets infected doesn't mean that the entire race is infected. Because someone robs means everybody's going to rob somebody. I mean, there's a reason, folks, that terrorism exists. I mean, we have blood on our own hands. We've went overseas. We've tried to westernize nations. We've tried to, and quote unquote, bring democracy into places that don't even understand what democracy is. I mean, look what happened in Iraq. Weapons of mass destruction. Where were they? Okay. Got rid of the Republican Guard and allow for them to just have no jobs and to go out in the streets. The development all of a sudden of these groups, Al-Qaeda and ISIS, the Muslim Brotherhood, and all of these groups now. We played a part in creating that, and not to take responsibility for that, as if we are sitting ourselves on a moral high ground, looking down upon these people that we need to keep out because we're afraid now. I thought Donald Trump was such a tough man. I thought he was going to go get him. He going to make Mexico pay for the wall. Isn't that what he said? I'm going to make them pay for. Oh, he a tough guy. But oh, my goodness, we can't let him in here anymore because he is afraid. And he knows you are afraid. And what he is doing, he's tapping into the prejudice, the bigotry, and the fear that exists in folks that don't understand what's going on in this world. It's bigger than the Muslim race. How can you demonize the Muslim race? Muslims are in our military. Muslims are on the front line. There's Muslims in Syria fighting ISIS right now. There's Muslims in the U.S. military. There's Muslims that have fought in every war in America in defense of America. And you say you can't come into our country? It's their country, folks. This is what I don't understand. Okay. Oh, okay. So what is America now? Again, who is the threat? What is America now? Is America white man country? Is it black man's country? Latino? White woman country? I don't leave women out because they'd be right. DT, they'd be right. You mean that, man? I understand. Okay. Matter of fact, women rule the world anyway. I'm just going to say that, period. Okay. Like James Brown say, maybe a man's world with nothing without a woman or a girl. Nah, appreciate the women folk. Okay. Don't get mad at me. But whose country is America? Who is it? I mean, if we can say, you know, they can't come. They? Who are they? If you are born here, you are an American. What Donald Trump is saying is that if you went to go visit to the Middle East and you're a Muslim and you're trying to come back in, you can't get back in because we're afraid of you. Oh, you scare us. Ain't no telling what you might do. We don't know because you are a Muslim, because you practice Islam. We're afraid of you. Oh, Dylan Roof, what did he practice? What does the, get this, folks, the Ku Klux Klan, what do they practice? Oh, I see that big cross burning out there. What do they practice? Christianity, folks, may be a warped form of Christianity. What about this church, this Wayland church or whatever that church is that goes and picketed those soldiers' funerals? And Christian church, folks. Okay. So we want to kick out Christians? Okay. Because of all the violence that's been perpetrated, we want to kick out Christians? Oh, you say this is a Christian nation. Oh, okay. It's a Christian nation. I thought it was a freedom of religion was the creed of this nation. Okay, there was a time when they wouldn't let Catholics in, and they wouldn't let Jews in, and so many Jews lost their lives because we wouldn't let them in. That's a national sin. Oh yeah, it's getting interesting, folks. I mean, see, Trump doesn't even understand. He doesn't understand his own words and the implication of them. Yeah, it's getting hot. Maybe I need DT back in here. Say, hold on. Hold on, bro. Let's slow it down a little bit, because you know what? We can't stand for it. You know what? And I'm going to talk about a minute about what ISIS goal is. And we're going to take a break, folks. But listen, get your green tea, because I know we got a lot of folks here that drink that green tea. It's good for you, Richard. You drink that green tea? You can't put no liquor in it, though, because I know you like to put a little Hennessy in it and stuff like that. That's how I like to do mine, by the way. But anyway, listen, we're going to be right back.
Be sure to like us on our Facebook page, One Mic, One Voice Podcast. Follow all of our content on the OneMicOneVoice.com website, or be sure to email me at DT@OneMicOneVoice.com or Michael Eric Owens at OneMicOneVoice.com. Keep listening.
Man, I tell you what, man, I miss DT voice, man. I mean, a tear almost just came down my eye, man. Give me a little napkin or something, man. He all over the place. Man, I'm just waiting on him to come back with my present, though. I mean, we said $500, right? That's what we said, right? But then minus all the shipping handling. I think it was $12. But, I'm looking forward to my co-host, man. We make one. You just got the half today, but maybe the more radical half. But you know, what ISIS desires is for us to be so fearful that we attack the Muslims in this country. And guess what? That they flee and see some sort of acceptance in ISIL's philosophy. And when we use the rhetoric of do not let them in, they're all terrorists, that feeds right into that ideology. And I don't know if you saw this. CNN put up all the propaganda videos, most of them that ISIS was using, and it was using American politicians in their own words to recruit people. That's called aiding the enemy. Folks, we got this. We got our dialogue all wrong. This is not about Republican or Democrat. It's not about liberal or conservatism. It's not about any of the isms. What this is about is a country that don't understand that you are being played. You've been played for a long time. You're getting played against yourself and you don't understand it. When you gonna call an American not an American based upon their religion, when your creed says that person can believe if they want to or not? You don't understand. You are being played like a violin. Do you hear it, Richard? Oh, it sounds sweet to them. It's a chorus. It's the right in harmony. It's the right note. We being played. Who is the threat? The threat is within. Okay. It's not about keeping people out. Well, I hear people now. Well, we gotta close our borders. How's that working? Closing the borders. I mean, we the borders are more closed now than ever. What we have to understand, we are dealing with things in this country like poverty, okay, discrimination, unemployment. The marginalization of races and people. Even in the corporate boardrooms, people are being ostracized. We have serious issues. Our education system is broke down. We are setting people up to be angry with the state. The threat is within. While we talking about building up the border and all this other kind of stuff, we have local-born terrorism. And all ISIS is doing is just giving them confidence to go ahead and kill themselves, really, to be honest with you. I mean, they're so hopeless. You heard what the president talked about. Today is 150th anniversary of the 13th Amendment. Today he talked about hope. Hope. Folks are hopeless. And when people are hopeless and they see a cause that they can be part of, guess what? They will get involved in it. Even if they're not connected. I don't even know what this means, ISIS expired, you know, inspired by ISIS. You know, that's not related. That's inspired. How are you going to combat against those that are inspired by ISIS? Okay. Have no direct communication with them. They're just inspired by them. Folks, listen, the energy that we're using to demonize our Muslim brothers and sisters, because guess what? Now, you know, and people say, you know, we need them, you know, in this fight. And we do. And I've said that. But we need to be respectful toward them, because many of them are Americans. But even greater than that, people, they're human. They're just like you and me. They want the same things. I thought it was that idea of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. They didn't say life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness for white people, for black people, you know, for, you know, what Hispanic people. That was supposed to be a idea for everyone. I mean, listen. There's been things said about black people. Well, if you don't think lives matter here, go back to Africa. Man, I was born here. Go back to Africa. I'm going to do that. Okay. Well, I got a home there or something. I mean, I don't, what's my address? Okay. I don't know. It's Kenya Boulevard or something. I don't know. I don't live in Africa. I live here in America. I was born here in America. Okay. You just can't kick me out. And you can't keep me from, I traveled, you know, Richard, I was out the country. Well, no, whoa, no, can't come back in. What you mean I can't come back in? No, you can't come back in. You ain't hurt? No, we ain't letting black people back in the country. What you mean you ain't letting black people? I got a home. I got a job. Nah, we afraid of you. So just go. So where does the Muslim American citizen that tries to get back in his or her country, that has a job, that maybe went over for a business trip, over there, say, working for 3 or 4 months, or that Muslim professor that's an American citizen that's on a sabbatical overseas doing research, they come back and you go, no, you can't get back in. You say, what do you mean I can't? My family's in the, No, you can't come back in. Why? We're afraid of you. You might blow us up. You know, you look like you tried on a couple of suicide vests. You see what I'm saying? I don't it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And to expend our energy with such foolishness. And again, I don't agree with Lindsey Graham. But I think he has something interesting to say, and I just want to pull that up right quick and we'll go ahead and analyze what Mr. Graham said about his fellow Republican.
What is your reaction to hearing what Donald Trump says?
I'm disgusted. He is helping the enemy of this nation. He is empowering radical Islam. And if he knew anything about the world at all, you would know that most Muslims like this ideology, and they've died in by the thousands trying to combat this radical ideology. You're undercutting their efforts. You're slandering their sacrifice. You're marginalizing what they're trying to do to make the world a better place. He's a race-baiting, xenophobic, religious bigot. He doesn't represent my party. He doesn't represent the values that the men and women who wear the uniform are fighting for. You know how you make America great again? Tell Donald Trump to go to hell.
Wow. And again, I'm not a Graham supporter. Let me say that. Because I got some issues with, you know, South Carolina, some other things. But anyway, wow, I couldn't agree with him more. If you want to make America great again, tell Donald Trump to go to hell. Okay. Race baiter, xenophobia, bigot. I mean, this is what we've heard coming out of his camp. And Graham is right. Muslims are dying by the thousands trying to fight ISIS. The Syrian refugees are fleeing that sort of terrorism. They're not leaving their home because they, you know, they want to go on a vacation. That's real fear, folks. Are you leaving your home today because ISIS has entered into your neighborhood? No, you're not doing that. Matter of fact, we're sitting here. I'm in Blacken Studios. Man, it looked great in Blacken Studios all the time, folks. And I'm sitting here in Blacken Studios, comfortable, having a conversation with you. Sun's outside. Man, it's a beautiful day in Oklahoma City today. Where's ISIS? Who's the threat? Let me tell you who's more of a threat for me. It's for me to get out this studio and get in my car and try to drive home and get racial profiled and get knocked over the side of the head and maybe murdered. That's more of a threat to me. ISIS, a threat? No. The threat is within. It's not preventing people from coming into this country. We already do massive screenings. We need to do a better job with looking at visas and how people get into this. This couple out in California that did this terrible act. The wife got in on a fiance's visa. The process was too easy. It needs to be looked at. Because there's some dangerous people in the world. There's some dangerous people that want to get into this country. That we should say, no, you can't come in. You on the watch list, or you've been involved in, you know, some pretty terrible things. But there's also some terrible people in this country, okay, that are going to continue to do domestic terrorism that are not Muslims, that are not from the Middle East, that were born in Iowa, that were born in places like New Jersey and places like Alabama, places like Wisconsin. People that look, or as we would say, they don't look like a terrorist. Oh, yeah. Well, I guess now, you know, a Muslim brother and sister, you know, they look like terrorists. I mean, I don't know, Richie, if you've seen those people that have been harassed at the airport and this and that simply because they look a certain way. I you know, maybe some of y'all can't identify with that, but I'm here to tell you. I mean, when people judge you according to the color of your skin, it's despicable. When people look at you and think you're dangerous simply because you look like you do. Now, if the man's sitting up there holding AR-15, is, you know, and he's got a, you know, vest with look like a trigger on it, then he's dangerous. You can conclude that, yeah, you probably need to get away from him. But if he's just dressed in his Muslim attire, he's not dangerous. He's just dressed in his Muslim attire. If I'm dressed in my suit, I'm not dangerous. I'm just dressed in my suit. Why are we so fearful? You say, well, what happened, you know, in San Bernardino, California? That's why we're afraid. Well, I guess there is some reasons to be cautious. But fear, this is not the time for fear. This is a time for our country to come together against bigots like Donald Trump, against people that will toss off this so-called keeping you safe rhetoric as nothing more than what it is. It's prejudice talk. It is insensitive, and it is the worst sort of communication, not just for solving a problem, but in my opinion, that can come out of a human being's mouth. It's degrading. And we shouldn't stand for it. And the fact that we're supporting it, the fact that he's still the front runner, the fact that we don't have this enormous outrage. I think I'm here to tell you, folks, we need to wake up, because as I said the last time, we are being played. And now the criticism, of course, is we're not doing enough. So I say to our listeners, what can we do? What can we do? The problem is complicated. It's not as simply as getting more law enforcement. It's that we live in a technological age where social media is used to recruit, to train, where social media is used as a weapon of war. This is going to take some of the most intelligent minds that we have, not just in America, but around this country. It is a threat, but it's not Muslims that's the threat. It's the ideology of hate. But if we exclude people based upon their religion and classify them as terrorists, have we done better? Have we showed leadership and courage? France was just hit multiple times. They're still letting refugees come in. Now, what happened to all this, you know, this gunslinging? America. America's got guns. Huh? We the strongest, most powerful nation in the world. America's the leader in the world. We must lead. Well, it seems to me like America is cowering over there in the corner, saying we just going to shut our doors to everything that's going on. We don't want to deal with it. Well, folks, this is what you don't understand. It's already in your midst. You're going to have to deal with it. You can shut down all the, you know, I, again, I want anybody to get hurt, but I guarantee you, if we shut down and we didn't fly any plane, close the borders completely, if we did all of that, I guarantee you we still have mass shootings. I guarantee you somebody's going to blow somebody up. The problem, the threat is within. We got to start working on America. We got to turn our attention inward. It's not about banning people. But when we have poor, uneducated, when our schools look like prisons, when we have private prisons where people used to cost the state money. When they lock you up, they used to cost the state money. You don't cost the state no money. State making money off of you now when they lock you up. Private prisons where their revenues is based upon locking people up. When our county budget, when county's budget is based upon, when their revenue is 30 and 40% of the violations that they can pull people over, then the county is dependent upon that. They can't shake that. They can't lose 30% of their budget and still survive. No, you better go out there and pull some people over. We need some tickets. That's employing people. We need to work in our own backyard. And guess what? Listen to me. A Muslim American is just as much American as a white American. Jewish American. We're all Americans. Religion is just what we choose to believe or we don't choose to believe. Just because a person is an atheist American, they're not American. But it comes down to this, folks. It comes down to who is an American. And I'm here to tell you, according to our Constitution, if you were born here, if you were a nationalized citizen, you are an American with all the rights and privileges of anyone in this country. I don't know. I don't care how long you've been here. We cannot stand up and talk about our Muslim brothers and sisters as if they do not belong here, as if they are a plague sent upon the American society. All I have to do is name them off. Dylan Roof. Okay. Timothy McVeigh. Charles Manson. Jim Jones. We can keep going. But I thought all of those were white. Okay. So what I'm trying to say to you is, you know, where's this righteous indignation that we're going to keep people out and that's going, we're going to be safe. You ain't safe. You're not safe. And what Trump is talking about will make you even more unsafe. Okay. We got to come together. If we want to defeat, what's the word defeat, man? How do you, you know, I don't think anybody wins when you have people losing their lives. You know, we're going to defeat ISIS. We're going to beat ISIS. Like it's a ball game or something, you know, like we're going to destroy ISIS. That's good talk. I mean, maybe it makes some people feel good. You know, we're going to hunt you down. You know, yeah, we're going to go after you, but we're afraid to even let a Muslim come into the country. But we're going to go into their country and destroy them. But we don't want to let you in here because we can't handle you if you come in here. But I tell you what, we can handle you in your own country. Well, that don't make no sense to me. Okay. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Wake up. You know, one mic, one voice show. You know, I hope we didn't go too hard today. Hope we didn't go way up there. DT, I might have to send him the episode. He might have to give me some point and say, hey, look here. I want to show when I come back, man. You need to pull back, big brother, pull back some. But I was just so outraged by what I'm seeing today, because McCarthy got away with it. Wallace got away with it. Bull Connor got away with it. Not in our day and age will we show religious intolerance. Will we promote hate? Will we promote this sort of visceral conversation? No, not on my watch. And for everybody that's talking about they served in the military and this, I was in the military. That ain't got nothing to do with it. It was my choice. It was your choice. It's got nothing to do with it. I'm proud that I served my country, but I'm here to tell you, our country is going down the wrong direction if we continue to even give audience to this sort of thing. And if we don't use platforms like this to speak out against this injustice, and you use your platform, wherever you may be, to speak out against this injustice, because ISIS desires to divide America, to demonize the Muslim brothers that are here, the ones that have given their lives for this country, the memory of those who died for this country. No, we're not going to give them that, because believe it or not, they are. I don't even know how to describe them, but I will say that they need to be stopped. And unless we come together, folks, we will not prevail. We will continue to go down this road that only divides us, because as always, history will speak of us. Somewhere in the distant future, a scribe will reach down deep into the archives of our time. And what will she find? Will she discover that we overcame our differences? Will she find that out of many, we became one? Or will she find that we saw nothing and remain a divided people? Yes, history will speak.